full day today.
Baruch Hashem. Okay, we continue in the Rambam. Hilchas Schia Umatana Perek Ches Halacha Chaf Aleph, Chapter 8, Law 21. We're continuing with the laws of Shchiv Mara, and now we're going to see a different scenario over here. Shchiv Mara Shekosov Kol Nechosov Lacherim. If a Shchiv Mara writes off all his property to many parties, so far we learned if he gives it all to one person, we even said if he gives it to two people all. But now it's a little bit of a different scenario that he's giving it to many parties. Let's say 5 people, 10 people.
Whoa.
10 people, let's say. So now the question is, what does he mean when he's doing this? So, Rohan, we got to see, how is he giving it out exactly? Im kimachalek ksovam. If he writes it out, well, you could tell him that he doesn't have today and they shouldn't wait. That's all. All right. If he is giving it out as he's like parceling it out to everybody, he's giving it one after the other. Boom, 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 boom. I'm giving to you, and then to you, and then to you, and then to you, then to you, and to clean it all out.
And then it's not in one shot, not in one second.
But it's like one after the other. It's just like one right after the other. Right away over. No pause, no waiting, no holding back a little bit. All right. Then mace, and then he dies. So kanu, they acquire it, because that is still falling in the category of a gift of a shchiv mara. You don't need to have a kinyan. It's a regular din of a shchiv mara, because he really is giving all his assets away, but to a lot of people. That's all. He's clearing the house immediately. However, what if, and we're not finished, and amad, and what if he gets up and he gets better? Then
chozer,
it all goes back to him. Bekulam, with all of them, because it was all one large shchiv mara gift, but it was given out in 10 successive steps, one right after the other. However, that's no real chiddush over there, but it's to be understood as juxtaposed to the next halacha. V'im kinimlach, but if he does it as if it looks as if he changed his mind. In other words, on Sunday morning, he gives, let's say, a tenth of his assets away. And that's it, so I'm giving. And it looks like he's holding back the rest for himself. And then 3 hours later, he gives the second guy a tenth. And he waits another 3 hours. It looks like he's going to hold on. And every time it looks like he's changing his mind, and it's, you know, till he's, you know, then maybe it takes a couple days till he gets rid of all the assets, as it were. So now, so v'imkin nimlach achar shishir. If it's like he changed his mind after he left it over. In other words, he gave to one, planning on leaving the rest for himself. Well, then it looks like he changed his mind. I guess I'm going to give to a second guy. I'm going to leave the rest for myself. And then it keeps going until he liquidates everything. So, and then chazar v'kasa v'kana. Then after they're all done, they write as a proof that, look, he made a kinyan, he got rid of everything, miyado. I'll call echad v'echad on every single one of them. So now, what happens? All right, so now, if mace, if he dies, kanu kulam.
All of them get it.
They all get it. However, what about the last guy? Amad, and if he gets up, ain a chozer,
right,
he can't back out. Ela ba'achron,
just the last guy gave away all his wealth,
because the first ones he was really holding it back, right? Ain a chozer. So the other ones, it was really it was a gift in his lifetime. Now, here's the problem. So really, if it's a gift in his lifetime, so fine. So he died. They all get it. This one got it before he died, a little bit before the other one. Yeah, and then the last guy, he got it as a real matna shchiv mara, because that was the last one of the assets.
There's nothing left once he gave up.
But however, if he gets up, he can't back out on the first 9, because those he gave away in his lifetime.
Yeah.
Only the last one, that's the real matna shchiv mara, because that's all that's left. Shrei Nassan Lo, the last guy, he gave Kol Nechasim Mishurim, everything that's left. So that would be the only difference if he survives in terms of who he can give back to. Now, here's a very interesting scenario. We already learned that if you have a Canaanite slave and you give all your assets to him, then he is emancipated automatically.
Right.
Because he's part of all the assets. Now, for some strange reason, if you give him 95% of your assets and hold back 5% of assets, he doesn't acquire himself because maybe he's part of what's being held back or whatever. But he doesn't get everything. So now, let's apply this now to a matna shchiv mara. Let's say he's got a trusted servant and he's thinks he's going to die. So he writes to the servant, I'm giving you all my assets. Oh, that's the magic word, all my assets. It appears there's emancipation at hand. So HaKosev Chavbeis, HaKosev Kol Nechasev La'avdo, he writes, all his assets are going to his Canaanite slave. Now, if he was holding back some, then the Canaanite slave doesn't get anything. Because, see, he doesn't get himself, he doesn't get what the guy gives him either.
It's all or nothing.
Right? So now it's all.
You mean because the guy lives?
No. What if he doesn't give him everything? He only gives him 95%. That's of old law. That's nothing to do with Shkimara.
That's
nothing to do with Shkimara. If you give to your Kenai slave 95%, he gets nothing because he's supposed to be emancipated and can't own anything. We're saying he even gave everything.
Nice.
But that now certainly, if the owner would die, then it's certainly fine. Because now that he dies, the Kenai slave has everything and he has emancipation. All at the same time. At the time of death, he gets everything and he's emancipated. Yeah. Wonderful. But what if instead V'omad, the guy survives? Here, now, what would you think without going further? What would you think without going further?
He's still a slave.
You think he's still a slave because all the assets go back. He's still a slave. And the Rambam says no.
Whoa.
This is the Kiddush. V'omad, chozer b'nechas, and the money goes back.
He's still free.
Meino chozer b'evid, but the servant does not go back. Why? This is like a rabbinic decree. Share Yotzalov Shemicham, because the name already went out. The shmooze that he's already a free guy.
Because
everyone say, listen, the guy's gonna die. As soon as he dies, they're already considering the guy's a free guy.
Free guy, they've already
right? And once the guy is considered free, he doesn't become a servant, and the owner knows that. And therefore we understand that what he meant was to free him. In other words, once you know that the name is the guy's out,
there's a name out in the market.
You know, it's just a matter of time. So the word's out that he's out, and the owner knows that. So therefore, the owner wants to emancipate him, even if he doesn't get the money. Really, it's effective. Listen, an owner can emancipate a servant anytime he wants without giving all his assets. He could say, "I hereby say you're free."
And he gives him a document.
Yeah, you're free. You don't have to give him all your assets just to make him free. If he gives all the assets, regular healthy guy, then obviously he's giving himself. If he's holding back, because I'm giving 95% of the assets, how do I know I'm giving him the slave? But here, when the guy thinks he's dying and he wants to give him everything, and he knows people are going to be saying that he's free, and technically he would be free as soon as he dies, so already the understanding is once the name has gone out that he's free, it's very confusing for people, and therefore the owner knows that, and therefore it's as if he wants to go free even if he doesn't get anything. And that's the way we have to understand the halach. Okay, now we've had two categories so far, well really two and three. We have a plain old shchiv mara who dies, who wants to give his stuff, gives it away, dies. Shchiv mara who makes with a kinyan. That means he's giving it away before he dies. And then we said the other case where he says, I want to give it as a matna shchiv mara. You know, he's not giving everything. He says, I want to give portion as a matna shchiv mara. So now we're going to get to a fourth one now. Shchiv mara shetziva machmas miso. This is a little bit different now, stricter. Shchiv mara who commands, and it's clear because he really knows that he's going to die. Remember, in the other cases, people are sick. They think they might die, but then again, maybe they won't. Because he's given all, that's the whole point that we can get the money back, is he thinks he's going to die, but if he's not going to die, we know he doesn't want to give it. But here's a case where he's like really sick. And like he knows, it's not like, he knows he's going to die.
No
hope. That you can tell from the way he's acting that he is like, either he's saying it, or it's very clear that he is mamish, knows he is going to die. Okay? So this is called not just a shchiv mara, but we call it a mitzvah machmas mitzvah. He's commanding because he knows he is going to die. So we're going to assume there's much more force to his giving, even though he doesn't say it explicitly, and all the more so he does. V'nikr dover zemeklav, and we can tell from his words, the way he's saying, you know, George, I'm never going to use this again the rest of my life. I'd like you to have it. You know, so it means, you know, there's not much more time I can look at this anymore and whatever. It's like, it's clear that he knows he's going to die. Afal pi shekono miyado b'miksas, even though he made a kinyan with his hand for part of his stuff, which normally means what? When you make a kinyan with part, it's like you gave it away right now. But since he so before he's just sick. So he's sick, okay, but maybe I'll get better. So he makes a kinyan. We assume, well, he's giving it as a gift as a healthy person would give it. But here it's like clear. He's saying, I'm going to die, and I'm going to die eminently. So here, take it. And he makes a kinyan. Then he gets better.
Give it back.
Chozer, because it still is considered a matnash givmara, even with the kinyan, because of the eminence of his death. So this becomes...
He wouldn't have gotten it unless he was going to die.
That becomes clear, because even though normally, if the guy's sick, then what are you making a kinyan for? I guess you want to give it away now, right? But here, the guy, he's making a kinyan, but he's mamish saying, I'm mamish dying any moment now. So he's for sure knows he's going to die. So even the kinyan doesn't override anything, and it's still assumed that it's the gift contingent upon his death.
So he's voiding out the previous gift he made, basically, purposely?
No, he's not voiding out. He's saying, I'm only giving it because I know I'm dying.
It's
like a conditional gift. It's a conditional gift.
He's already distributed his assets.
No. We're not that case. We're in another case. We're in another halacha now. He has $1 million in assets. He gives $100,000 to George. He says, George, I know I'm dying. I'll never see you again after this. I want to give you this $100,000.
That's a kinyan.
And then he makes a kinyan. Here, pick up my pen. And now it's a kinyan. Now, normally we say, it's done, gifted, and even gets up, it goes back.
It doesn't
go back. He gives because it's a regular gift. So here, he even makes a kinyan. We don't say it's a regular gift. We say that it's still the gift of a man who's going to die, and he only gave it because he thought he was going to die.
He doesn't
die, but he's aware of the fact that he gave it away.
Doesn't matter. But we're aware of the fact he's only giving it away because he knows 100% sure he is going to die.
But he gave it away yesterday.
Doesn't matter. He's telling you, if I make condition, Howard, I'm giving you $1 million if you go to shul tomorrow. And what? I gave it to you already.
Yeah.
What if you don't go to shul tomorrow?
But the kinyan was conditional on me dying?
Yes, exactly.
There's no way a dying person could give a gift. He's saying.
What do you mean?
He gave it.
He can make... What?
No
he can write in. He can write in. I'm giving this a kinyan regardless. I don't care.
Is that a will?
Yeah.
He can say regardless.
That you have to put in for sure.
Is that a will?
Now if he doesn't that's gift it, you know. See, because we'll see. Because remember, once he dies, he can't give anything else away unless it's a matnash. Because the inheritors get it.
What do you mean?
You can't put other people really in a will per se. Because the only people that inheritance is only family. You want to give it to people who are non-family, you have to give it this way as a gift. Do you want to give it to him or not? Here's the question. If you would know that you would recover, would you give him $100,000?
Unlikely.
Usually not. Right. So that's why he doesn't want him to get it. That's what we're saying.
So
they're saying even if you made a kinyan where it looked like he wants to have it now, but it's so clear he wants to do it because he's dying and only because he's dying. If he wasn't going to die, he wasn't going to give it. Therefore, it goes back if he recovers.
Can't you carve out part of your estate and give it to a non-family member in a will?
I don't know if in a will you'd have to give it before.
That's why they're giving
you'd have to give it before.
You can give it before. What if you can't put that in your will?
I don't know if in a Torah will. In a Torah will, property goes to the inheritors.
That's why we have to learn about these.
The property goes. Well, listen, nobody, you know what all the rabbis say, don't wait to give it when you die. Give it while you're alive. Why would you want to wait till you're dead?
When you're alive, you get schar for it.
You get schar for it.
But you know when you're
you give it when you're dead, it's hard to get schar for it.
When they go up to you up in heaven, but it's like it's over.
You know?
But if you write a will, you're giving it.
Well, you know, the Torah says, so far in Hilchos Nachlus, I believe, Nachla, the property goes to family. If you want it, give it to other people, give it away beforehand. That's what would appear so far from everything that we're learning over here. Let's see.
Sounds like you could say that.
Well,
so you make it conditional.
You could say I'm bequeathing my property to the guy before I die.
Conditional on my death.
But it's before I die.
Right.
But that's not a matnas chivmara.
No.
Well, no, a matnas chivmara is also conditional on my death. But he has to gift it before. Just a regular will, I'm not sure.
But
it depends how the will is written.
Until he dies.
Yeah, well, that's for sure. Any matnas chivmara.
Any will, yeah.
No, all right. Anyway, let's continue. Chavdalad. Now, let's look at. There's other cases that are considered like the guy thinks he's for sure going to die. You should know right away that those who argue on some bits of this Rambam coming up, so if you don't like it all, you're in good company. Hamefaresh Bayam, a guy goes now in the ocean, which is a very dangerous trip, and not everybody, very, very far away, and not everybody comes back. Vayotze Beshar, someone's going on a caravan in the middle of the desert, not everybody comes back. Vayotze Bakola, now this one is a little bit different, where they're taking him away. He's been subject for the death penalty by the secular courts, or even the Jewish court. They put the thing over his neck, or whatever.
The chains.
They're putting in chains. They take him away and chop his head off. And taking him away. And they're taking him away. Okay, George, you get all my property. Okay, whatever. Right? Or, Vamasukan, and a very ill person. The sickness came very quick. And the sickness is very hard on him, and his whole body got very weak, as opposed to, I guess, a protracted illness. These are all these cases, like the guy was perfectly healthy yesterday,
and today he's
in a precarious state. Like, they're sending him off to, you know, he got caught by the goyim the day before, and the next day, you're going to kill him. Finished. Right? Or he was healthy, and then he came down with an acute sickness, whatever. And the other two, though, are a little bit different, but the Rambam is considering them the same. He's going away, and you never know what's going to happen. So the Rambam says, Kol Echad Marbasim, all these four that we just listed, Kimitzava Machmas, it's no different than the halacha before. The guy when thinks for sure he's going to die, that has the same status. That's the Rambam's opinion following the Rif. Now, although you could contend that going on a caravan and going across the ocean is not the same for you. You're not going to die. Nobody goes on a boat to die. You're going on a boat for business. Okay, it's risky, but you're not going to die. But the Rambam still, the Rif says still the same thing.
He says it's a Shiv Mira.
It's not a shchiv mara. It has the status of halacha chaf gimel, shetziva machmas misa.
Yes.
Just like we said, if the guy knows he's going to die, he has special laws.
Why would he do it if he knows he's going to die?
Well, but that's the question. But he says he plans on leaving here. But the point is, he plans on leaving and not coming back. That's will be that case. Oh. He said, I'm coming, I'm not coming back.
I'm probably not
going to
be back because I'm
going
to
be dead.
No,
I'm going to
be in China.
I'm not coming back. Like Shelley.
You know,
like Shelley.
Well, I'm not coming back. I'm going on a caravan. I'm packing up. I'm leaving, going far away. And then he changed his mind. He comes back. That's the only way it makes sense. Others disagree with this whole halacha. Others just say the last two cases. They don't like that case. Maybe they learn it differently. Anyway, all the Rambam is saying, it's not only a guy who knows for sure he's going to die. If these are similar situation as the same halacha, and this is like he wrote the shtar, gave it over, fulfills it if he dies. But he's saved and he survives, even if only part of his assets, and he made a real kinyan on it, still chozer goes back, just like anybody who does it, because if you know he's going to die, because he would never have done it if it wasn't for the circumstance playing itself out the way he was anticipating it to happen. Okay, now let's talk about another situation. Chaf Hei and Chaf Av are going to deal with how sick does the person have to be, and how do we know he dies from the sickness that we think he has? In other words, Chaf Hei, Shchiv Mera, let's say the guy was sick, could be he's going to die, he gives a gift as a regular Matnas Shchiv Mera, a regular Matnas Shchiv Mera, which means if in the next couple of days he dies, then whatever he gave to the fellow, he gets to keep, right? And if he recovers, he has to give it back. Okay? So now what happened? Shenitek mecholi lecholi. He moved from one sickness to another sickness. In other words, first he has some heart problems. And the doctor says, you know, your heart's very weak. It looks like it's going to be the end. Right? It
could
be.
Now he goes into kidney failure.
And then what happened? He got a little better. Well, no, he got a little better. But
then he gets run over.
But now he gets renal failure.
Yeah, renal failure.
Like it's run over.
Let's say he gets. Well, no, that's not as good. It doesn't fit in over here. You'll see why. Let's say he has another internal problem. Okay? So he goes from one sickness to another. So before the first sickness, he wrote his assets. Okay? So now he kind of recovered a shtickle from the first sickness, but now he comes into the second sickness. So the question is, do we say that once, that did he recover enough, or how much does he have to recover from the first sickness to consider the first gift voided? And then when he dies the second time, it's like dying without giving a gift, because the gift has gone back to him already. So what is the criteria over here? So that's what the next two halachos talk about. So im lo amad, if he never really got better from the first sickness, and he went from sickness A to B, and also, how do we know that? V'holach al mishanto bashuk, he wasn't able to go on his walking, with his walking stick out into the street, in between the two sicknesses. So he was in bed, he was lying in bed, his heart was hurting him, and then he gives the gift, and then a few days later he develops renal failure and whatever. So he never really got out of bed, he never really went into the street, he didn't really feel better. Then matnaso matana, the gift was still a gift, because we assume the second sickness is just a carryover, a development of the first.
A complication.
Complication or whatever, it's related to the first. He never recovered from the first. Let's even say the second has nothing to do with it, but he never recovered from the first. We assume there's a connection between the first and the second. Mm-hmm. And that's why he died. There's no reason to assume otherwise, because he never really recovered. Okay, there could be crazy cases. What if the ceiling caved in on him and he died from that? Okay, but he didn't recover. The point is, he never recovered from the first sickness. So since he didn't recover from the first sickness and he died, so okay, he only didn't intend on not giving it if he would recover from the first sickness. He never recovered from the first sickness. What about Chafav? Amad ben hacholi shetziva bo uben hacholi shemes menu. What if he gets up and he recovers after the first sickness upon which he wrote gave the gift of Shemira? Then he got better, complete, you know, and now he gets sick and then dies from the second sickness.
Boy.
And how do we know that? Shehalach al mish anto. Wait a minute. He was able to go on his walking stick. Yeah. All right, that's a little bit better, but still, it's not without a walking stick. So now we're a little bit in doubt. He's better, but is that considered fully recovered? Fully recovered means he doesn't have a walking stick. So the fact is, let's say he's walking in the street with a walking stick.
Or a walker.
If he didn't go in the street with a walker, we know for sure he hasn't recovered. But now he's going on the street with a... Now if he gets up and he's walking and jumping and doing jumping jacks and running and doing miles, you know, then you know he got better.
Oh, he got better.
But now he's on his with his walker in the street. So that's a doubt. Did he really recover from it or not? So how are we going to know? We have to have the doctors give us an evaluation. If the doctors feel he really never recovered from the first sickness, then matnasa kayemis. The gift is considered a gift.
Wow.
But the doctor says no, he died from it was brand new issue. Then ein matnasa kayemis. The first gift is not a gift because he got better from the first sickness, and the second sickness, the doctors have determined, was a totally entirely different sickness.
Isn't it similar with like capital punishment? If you almost kill someone and then the base sin, if he doesn't die right away, there's a certain amount of time they have to.
If he gets up, yeah.
Or for damages, maybe.
So if you want to, ungift, give him.
But
a walking.
I don't know. To me, it seems different. I don't know. Yeah, it's about this gift assumption of what a guy's gift is. I don't know if that's the same thing.
Is what they're saying here.
Now, how about the third scenario? But what if he goes in the street without a walking stick? Sick between the two sicknesses, then we don't need any evaluation. No. But it's clear, Elabatl, the first gift was nullified. Matnos, Rishon's first gift, and now it all goes back to him now that he dies. Now, the big difference is, you know, can the inheritors inherit? That's the biggest issue here. If the gift is not a gift, so what happens when he dies? If he has children, they inherit everything. Mm-hmm. If the gift was a gift, they don't get everything. That's the whole point. Okay, one more halacha, we finish the parak. Chav Zayin. Matnash. Now, there's one. Now, this point is a little different area. We're focusing on the proof that the recipient has that the gift is valid.
Okay.
Everything we've said until now creates a certain reality or not. But the question is, what if people contest it? What if Khan, the father dies and says, okay, great, $10 million. He says, hold on. What do you mean?
Whoa.
Well, just before he died, you guys, you were in Florida, you were in Atlanta, and you were in Chicago. Your dad was with me in Toronto, and I was with him at his bedside.
And he said?
And he went and gave me all the property. Get out of here. I'm telling you, that's the truth.
They're not happy.
And there were witnesses. Where are the witnesses? They're in China now.
China?
Right? So I'm saying, the question is, what does he need proof? What will constitute valid proof that indeed the Shkrivmara gift transpired that he has some proof that he's correct. We're not talking about the realities. The realities, did he actually get it, you know, in God's eyes or not? We've already learned all those halachas. But when it's contested, you have to have a way of proving that you're the right side. So, mat neshchivara she'ein kasupa, if the gift of the shchivara does not have the following written, he writes, it has to be written. If there's nothing written or witnesses, there's no proof. So something's got to be written. Not that you're writing it for a kinyan. You're writing it as a proof. The guy's dying. He says, listen, I'm dying. I think I might die. You know what? If I die, I want you to have all my property. She says, fine. Could we have some witnesses sign the document? He says, sure. And the witnesses sign. That's not a kinyan. That's not a kinyan. Kinyan is different. Kinyan means proof. I've given over to you. I've done this, a mice a kinyan. And even that, you need witnesses for a kinyan. You always need witness just to prove what there's the actual transference of the property, the asset, and then there's the proof to that. So that's, you always need a shtaris proof if it's possible, could be contested.
I thought that's why we didn't do that, because the guy would get too upset.
No, but that's the kinyan. No, the kinyan. The kinyan is too hard for him. Yeah. But he has to have, there has to be some kind of proof. The guy, you know, no matter how sick he is, okay, we're not going to make you go through a kinyan, but you at least let the witnesses attest of their witness are here. Can they sign that it happened? You don't even have to bother him. You could go to witnesses and ask him to write it.
Yeah.
So if you so he comes with it, but if it doesn't have the following words that are signed, Shemitoch hecholi hazeh shetziva bo meis, that they testify the following, that he was with the sickness, and he gave it away, and he died from this sickness. That's another important thing. What if he died from another sickness?
Now it's not okay.
You have to have a paper, two guys sign that we know that this guy gifted him because he thought he was going to die, and indeed he died from that very sickness. You got to have that proof. If you don't have that, now, and if it's not written, let's say he just says he's giving it to him.
Yeah,
good.
There's no proof.
But and there's no witnesses to ask.
Sorry.
Even the guy who did it died. So let's say more. Let's say even there are witnesses who signed it that he gifted him because he knows he's going to die. But they didn't write, and we know he died from that sickness.
Uh-oh.
They wrote the thing at the time. They wrote the thing because really you need them to write it after he dies.
It's over.
They have to amend, because they got to say, and he died from this sickness. We just learned that if he got better from it, and then he dies, it could be from a second sickness, and the first guy doesn't get anything.
So they have to write. When he died,
the witnesses can write down, okay, we were here. We were here when it happened, and we've been here the whole time. This can all be happening. This can be all Chevra Kedisha work over here. Chevra Kedisha just called in. Chevra Kedisha says, listen, I want to give, you know, $1 million to Chaim Yankel. And the Chevra Kedisha stays with him, and he dies an hour later. So amongst the things Chevra Kedisha is going to do, they have to write a document that said Chaim Yankel said he was going to give it, that guy said he was going to give it to Chaim Yankel, and he indeed did die from that sickness. So, this is the proof Chaim Yankel has to have.
The witnesses have to be there at the death?
Well, or they have to be sure that he died from that. I mean, listen, if he's lying in bed and he's dying and they come back in half an hour and he's dead, they know he died from that, you know? But it could be he said it and then he got better. And a week later, and they write a document. Let's they wrote the document before he died. Say, listen, he promised to give him the thing. Fine. And then he died a week later. Well, I don't know if he died from that. So that's, in other words, we don't have proof that he died, that there are witnesses that tell us he died from that sickness. Then Hareya Matana Betela, the gift is nullified because it's a suffix. She'ein Misasarai, the death is not a proof. Why? Because Shema Mechali Shanasun Ba Matana Nirba. Maybe from the sickness from which he gave the gift from, he recovered from that sickness. Then he had another sickness and died from that. And then we have no proof to anything. Lafikach, therefore, so what happens to the property now?
Goes to the inheritors.
It goes to the inheritor. Since it's a suffix, we leave it where it was by the man who owned it. Until Chaim Yankel could bring proof, said from the very sickness from which he gave the gift, he did die from that.
So if a guy has cancer,